Okay, good morning and good chodesh, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah, daf Lamed Gimel. We are holding on daf Lamed Beis and Beis all the way back at the Mishnah on Lamed Beis and Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by the virtual Halacha program, which under the auspices of Rav Nevin Sal Shlita provides the flexibility to learn Halacha at a high level whenever you can and wherever you are. Visit vhalacha.com for more information. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So today we're going to be discussing Hadassim. We already got through the Mishnah about Lulav, so now we move on to the next of the Dalet Minim, which is Hadas. So the Mishnah is going to discuss Hadassim, and we're going to try to identify the characteristics of a Hadas and what would make a Hadas puzzle. The Gemara is going to discuss if the top of the Hadas gets cut off, it's puzzle. But if it regrows, it's then going to be kosher. But what if it regrows on Yantif? So that's the concept of Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvos. Do we assume Yesh Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvos or Ein Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvos? Once the Hadas has been disqualified on Yantif itself, is it disqualified forever, or could it still come back by having the top regrow on Yom Tov itself? Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to have a limitation, and on that thing, on that issue of Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvos or not, that's really the majority of the daf, because we have two rayas about Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvos on Amud Aleph, and then two additional rayas are going to come up on Amud Beis relating to Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvos. But on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to take a break in the middle of that, and we're going to have a limitation on the psul of Anav of Merubin. That Anav Merubin Me'alav is normally puzzle, but it may not always be puzzle. There may be some limitation on that psul. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, well, wait a second, if a person picks off the berries of a hadas, why isn't that a violation of tikkun mana on Yom Tov? That you're not allowed to be masakin mana, you're not allowed to make something a viable kli on Yom Tov. And then the Gemara is going to discuss how one should tie the lulav on Yom Tov itself. If you didn't tie it before Yom Tov, how do you tie it on Yom Tov without violating any sort of malacha? And then at the very, very end of the daf, we're not going to get to it today, we move on to the next Mishnah, the Mishnah of Arava. So let's begin at the Mishnah of Hadas and Daflam Beis and Beis. Says the Mishnah, Hadas, Hagazel Vayavish Pasul, a Hadas that is stolen or dried out is Pasul. Shall Asher Vishalim Dachas Pasul. If it comes from an Asher tree or near Nidachas, it is Pasul. So that those are universal issues. But then, Niktam Rosho, the top of the Hadas gets cut off. Nifritzualav, the leaves start to shed. Oshayanav of Merubos Me'alav, or it has more berries than it has leaves. Puzzle. V'miyaton kosher, v'in m'matin b'yom tov. If you take off the berries so that there are more leaves than there are berries, it could become kosher, but you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov itself. So says Maratan Rabbanan, anaf etzavos, sha'anaf of chofenes etzo. Anaf etzavos tells me that the leaves of the hadas should cover the stem, should cover the twig, the wooden part of the hadas. V'ezehu, haviyomer zeh hadas. What type of branch has the anaf of that are chofenes etzo? So that's a hadas. Ve'emazesa. How do I know it's a willow branch? What's a hadas called? It's not a willow. It's a myrtle, right? So how do I know that's a hadas? Ve'emazesa. Maybe it's a zayis. Maybe it's an olive branch. So be'inon avos v'leka. No, it has to appear to be like a chain along the length of the branch, and you don't have that by an olive branch. Ve'emadulva. Maybe it's a dulva. Be'inon anafachaf and a seitz of v'leka. No, because also you need that the leaves should cover the branch itself, and you don't have that by a dulva. Ve'emahirduf. Maybe it's another type of branch called a hirduf. Amrabai drachea darchinoam v'leka. No, it has to be the Torah's ways are pleasant, and this is a very thorny branch, and if you have to hold it in your hand, it would be very unpleasant to hold it in your hand, so therefore, that's an indication that a hadas is a non-thorny branch. Rava Amar Mehacha, Rava says, not from Drachah Darchinom, from a different pasuk. The pasuk says, Va'emes Va'ashalom Mehavu, so it's based on Emes Va'ashalom Mehavu, and not a pasuk in Mishlei, but a pasuk in Zechariah that tells me that, that it has to be something pleasant. Rashi says, well, what's the difference between Drachah Darchinom and Emes Va'ashalom Mehavu? Drachah Darchinom is talking about the thorns, and it's difficult to hold it because it will cut into your hands. Hemes Va'ashalom Mehavu is related to a different element, and that is that the branch that we're suggesting, the hirduf, is a poisonous branch. So if one were to eat it, they would die. And that's why that's not emes and not shalom. If a person could die from it, and you're not going to die from holding it in your hand, but the nature of this branch is that it's something that is extremely destructive, and therefore it's not emes and it's not shalom. Tosos doesn't agree with Rashi. Tosin Dibra Maschalem so Shalom Mehavu v'ze ein alo emes lo Shalom shu asu l'shem amaves kach mir shakuntros. But Valchina Muska Klomer time b'fnei atzmo. Avol krad the kol chad shayichat kol krad the kol chad shayichat revayu. He says it doesn't make sense. It's not necessary to come up with a different reason for each pasuk. No, both pasukim apply to both issues. So. Meaning, it's the fact that it's thorny is also not emes and not shalom. And he says, aside from that, Rashi sounds like hirduf is the same as hardufni, because in Maseches Chulin we say that hardufni is a sama maves. So Rashi assumes that when our Gemara says hirduf, it must also be a sama maves. But he says that's incorrect, because the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Lamed Tes, when it talks about the minim that a person could be yotze the mitzvah of maror with, so the Gemara says you can't be yotze with hirduf because it's not a min zra'im. What do you mean you can't be yotze with hirduf because it's not a min zra'im? If it's poison, you're going to die, and you have to die every time you eat maror. So it doesn't make any sense to say that hirduf is a poison. But to say that it's not emes, not shalom, because it's thorny, you might still think you could use it for maror. You obviously take off the thorns, or you grind it up, or you make it somehow edible to use it for maror. So that's why it has to tell me that because it's not a min zra'im, that's why you don't use it for maror. So back in the second wide line, on lam beis and beis, tanur rabbanon, kalua kamin kalia v'domel shalshela zeu hadas. If it's, it looks like a chain, it looks like it's chained together, the leaves look like they're running chains, so that's a hadas. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer, anaf eitz avos, eitz shetam eitzo pir yoshava, havi omer zeu hadas. That the taste of the eitz and the taste of the pri is the same, is also characteristic of a hadas. Tana eitz avos kosher v'she'enu avos pasul. That if it's braided, then it's kosher, and it's not, it's pasul. Say echidami avos. What does it mean avos that it's braided? Am Rav Yehuda v'dukaymi tosa tosa tarfi bikina. It means that three leaves come out at each spot along the length of the branch. Rav Kana am Rav Yehuda trevichad. It doesn't need to be three leaves coming out all at the same spot. You can have two leaves coming out in one spot, and then one of the leaves are slightly elevated from the others. So Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava mahader atrevichad. Hal v'nafag mipumei d'Rav Kana. Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava had an unusual practice. He dafka looked for a hadas that had two leaves coming out of one spot and one leaf coming from slightly above, because nafag mipumei d'Rav Kana. Once Rav Kana says it's kosher, then that's something I'm going to dafka look for. But Rav Kana didn't say it's a hidur. Rav Kana would certainly say that three leaves coming out of one spot, even better, right? Rav Kana just said that it's kosher to have two and one. So why would you dafka be mahadar? What kind of hidur is that? So it's not a hidur in the mitzvah of hadas. It's a hidur in the mitzvah of kavod talmidei chachamim, that he's showing he's such a loyalty to his rebbe to make a statement that this is a shita that is correct, that he's willing to rely on it lemaisa. So he dafka would do it in such a way where he's demonstrating that he wants to rely on the shita of Rav Kahana. Amalei mar bar amemel Rav Ashi. So mar bar amemel told Rav Ashi, Abba lahu hadas shota karile. My father used to call that a hadas shota. Hadas shota is that something is off, that it's two in one spot and one leaf in another spot. That's not a regular hadas, that's a hadas shota. So Tanu Rabbanan, nashu rova levinishtayim bo miut kosher. If most of the leaves fell off and some of the leaves remain, then it's going to be kosher. Vachtei avos okayemus. But you still need three leaves coming out of one spot. It still needs to be avos. So haguf akasha says, Marz astira mine yuvei. Amrit nashu rova lev kosher v'hadatani vachtei avos okayemus. Kivin d'nachu lutrei avos eichim shkachsa. Nashu rova lev means the majority of the three. So that means two out of the three leaves are off. They've fallen off. And then he said, yeah, but as long as there are three leaves in each spot. Well, the majority of them fell off. You don't have three leaves in each spot. The majority of three or two of them fell off. You left with only one in each spot. So Amar Abaye, Mishkachasla, Ba'asad Mitzra'a. Dekaymi Shiva Shiva B'chad Kina. No, we're talking about a special kind of hadas where it had seven leaves naturally growing out of each spot. So then, when most of the seven fall off, you could still have three that are left. When four of the leaves fall off in each spot, you still have three coming out of each spot, and it's still going to be kosher. Amra bai shmamina hayas mitzra kosher lo shana. From the fact that we formulate this halacha with the assumption that we're talking about an asa mitzra, you see that an asa mitzra Torah is kosher, that you're allowed to use such a hadas that has seven leaves coming out of each spot. So says Mar Pshita, of course, why wouldn't you be allowed to use an Asa Mitzrayah? After all, it is a myrtle, it is a hadas. So says Mar, Mal Detema Hol V'Islei Shem Levi Lo Miskasher. I might have thought that it's not kosher because it's not just called a hadas, it's called a Asa Mitzrayah. So since it has a secondary name to identify it, so that might not fit into the category of a hadas. You need just a plain hadas. You need that which is just called hadas. So Kamash Malan, that's why he has to tell me that an Asa Mitzrayah is in fact still kosher. Says Mar Veima Hachinami. But why not say that since it has a Shem Levi, since it's not only called a hadas, but it has some other name in order to identify it, that it's a, why not say that it's possible? So says Mar Eitzavos Amar Rachmanim. In the pasuk it says eitzavos implies any type of eitzavos, as long as you have three leaves coming out of each spot, that is a viable hadas. It doesn't matter whether it's technically called only hadas or it's called something in addition to the word hadas. Tan rabbanan yavshu rov olav v'nishur bo shlosha badei olin lachin kosher. If most of the leaves dry up and you're only left with three moist leaves with on the stalks, then it's kosher. V'amar chisur brosh kalechad ve'ech. Those three moist leaves have to be on the top of each of the stalks. Now we're not talking about where it fell off. There are leaves all along the length of the hadas. It's just that they've all dried up. And the moist ones are only on top. So then it's still going to be kosher. Niktam Rosho. We then said in the Mishnah that if the top of the hadas gets cut off, or nifritzu olav, or another merulas ve'olav is possible. So one of the things that's possible is if the top gets cut off. So tani ula bar chinina niktam rosha va'olso bo tamara kasher. If the top gets cut off, but then it scabs over, so then it's going to be kasher, because now it's not a cut on the top, now it's scabbed over, so it looks complete again, and that's going to be kasher. So here's the shayla that takes up the majority of the daf. Bayi Rabbi Yirmiya, niktam rosha be'erav yom tov. What if the top of your hadas got chopped off on Erev Yom Tov, but then also about tomorrow be Yom Tov, and then on Yom Tov it's scabbed over on the top? So mahu, what's the din? Meaning, when Yom Tov started, this was a pasul hadas, but now it kashered itself over the course of Yom Tov. So can it become kasher on Yom Tov? Yesh dichoy etzel mitzvos olal. Do we apply the principle of dichoy, which we know applies to karbanos? Do we apply it to mitzvos as well? When it comes to karbanos, we say that by a karban, if it's nir v'nidcha, so we say it's nidcha. Once if it was once kasher, then it became nidcha, then it became not kosher, so nothing that's good that you're going to do to it is going to make it kosher again. But so do we say the same when it comes to a mitzvah, when it comes to the kashrus of mitzvos, that something that was kosher became pasul, that it cannot become kosher again? Or do we say no, the principle of dichoy is a principle limited to karbanos, it's got nothing to do with mitzvos? So we're going to have two rayas right here, and then we're going to have another two rayas on Amud Beis. Raya number one, v'tifshol em mehad tanan. Maybe we could reconcile this question of whether there's dichoy etzel mitzvos or not. We can resolve this question, rather, whether there's dichoy etzel mitzvos or not, based on a Gemara in Maseches Chulin, or a Mishnah in Maseches Chulin. The Mishnah tells us, kisov in eskala patur milchasos. There's a mitzvah of kisei adam. When you shech to chayev ha'ov, and not when you shech to behemah, but when you shech to chayev ha'ov, you have to do a mitzvah of kisei adam. You have to cover the blood with dirt. What if you covered the blood, and then the blood became uncovered? So patur milchasos. You don't have to cover it again. You already did your mitzvah. You covered the blood, even though it became uncovered. You don't have to make sure the blood remains covered. Kisov aruach chayev l'chasos. But what if you never did anything? You had the blood was there, and then the wind came and blew dirt over the blood. So then you do have to cover the blood. Right, so you have to cover. Rabbi Yochanan lo shanu ela shechasa v'nizgala. Avlo chasa v'nizgala patami l'chasos. So Rabbi Yochanan just explained, yeah, what do you mean you have to cover the blood? It's already covered. It means that if the wind blew and covered the blood, and then the wind blew again and uncovered the blood, now you have a mitzvah of kisei adam. But certainly if the blood is already covered because the wind covered it, you don't have to do kisei adam. There's nothing to cover. The blood is not exposed. Why don't we say that once the wind covered the blood once, so right now I don't have to do anything? So that means that there's dichoy, that the mitzvah is gone, the mitzvah is pushed away. So why should the wind uncovering the blood reinvigorate the mitzvah? We should say that there's a din of dichoy, that once there's no mitzvah, there's no mitzvah. So don't you see a raya from here that ain dichoy etzel mitzvah. So we don't apply the principle of dichoy that even though the mitzvah was nidcha, it still could come back. From Rav Papa's also meris ain dichoy etzel mitzvahs. So Rav Papa says you see a raya from here ain dichoy etzel mitzvahs. So says the Gemara, why do we have a suffix about the hadas that scabbed over on Yom Tov, whether it's kosher or not? We should say that ain dichoy etzel mitzvahs, that it becomes kosher just because it wasn't kosher before. Now it's kosher, just like you see by kisui adam. Says the Gemara, no. The Rav Papa goof on me by lay. When Rav Papa said zosomeris ain dichoy etzel mitzvahs, what Rav Papa was saying was that he wasn't sure. Mifshad pashal day ain dichoy etzel mitzvahs loshan lechula loshan lechumra. Rav Papa was saying he's not sure when we say that you have to cover the dam, are we saying that this is a stance that ain't dichay etzel mitzvos and therefore you have to cover the dam even though it was niskala? Odilma suke misafkle luchumra aminan lukula lo aminan. Or maybe it's all a suffix. We don't know whether there's dichay etzel mitzvos and therefore you just have to be machmir in both directions. So when it comes to kisei adam, what would a chumra mean? A chumra would mean you say ain't dichay etzel mitzvos and now I have to cover it again. But when it comes to the hadas that scabs over, the chumra would mean that you say that it's puzzle that yesh dichay etzel mitzvos and I cannot use this hadas. Maybe we just have to go to Chumra in both directions because we're unsure. So teiku, so that remains unresolved. Whether yesh dichoy or ain dichoy, you can't bring a raya from the Mishnah Chulin because the Mishnah Chulin is telling us to be machmir that ain dichoy etzel mitzvos. So maybe over here we need to be machmir that yesh dichoy etzel mitzvos. I was just reading, someone wrote up a drasha that Rav Salvechik gave to smicha students, I guess it must have been at a chag smicha or something, and he was giving mussar to all the, or maybe it was to rabbinic alumni, he was giving mussar to all the rabbis that they think they have to answer all the shailas. That when they get it, he said, you know, it used to be a difficult shaila would come and Reb Chaim Eiser would sit for a month or Reb Yitzchak Elchanan would sit for a month writing and erasing until he came up with the tshuva. And even then, he wouldn't paskin the shaila until he sent it to the Netziv or to Reb Yashar Berit, to the Beis Halevi, and they would sign on and then a psak halacha would come out. And now a rabbi gets a phone call, yeah, sure, no problem. You know, with some of the same difficult shailas. So he said, he remembers as a child, he asked his father, why do we have tekus in the Gemara? The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Torah, he couldn't give us a way to figure out the Torah. He said, it's very important to have tekus, that a maimon has to have tekus. Because first of all, you have to have tekus in life, because then a person has to be comfortable with the fact that you're not going to understand everything in life. So learning prepares you for life. If you know that there are things you don't understand in learning, then you'll know that there are things you don't understand in life. If you think you have to know everything in learning, and that if you don't know everything in learning, then it shows weakness, then you're going to be weak in emuna also, because you're not going to be able to handle all the takers of life. So anyway, lema ketanai. Says the Gemara, maybe we have this issue of dichay etzel mitzvos, or ain dichay etzel mitzvos, is really subject of machlokas tanoim. So here's raya number two about dichay etzel mitzvos. Avar v'likton pasul, divrei Reb Elazar ben Tzadok, cham machshirin. If you pull the berries off of the hadas when it was anav merubos me'alav, so it's going to be pasul according to Reb Elazar ben Tzadok, but the cham say it's kosher if you pull the berries off. So savrua to kuli amal lulav ein tzarech eged. We're going to work with the assumption that everybody holds that you don't really need an eged on a lulav. It doesn't need to be bound together. Even if you hold that a lulav does need to be bound together, there's no din of asiya by a lulav. You don't have to make a lulav because we don't derive any din of asiya from sukkah. By sukkah, we know we have a din of taas of lomenasi. Remember, we had the mishnah about chotet begadish. You have a pile of kasher eschach and you hollow out an area that's 10 tefachim tall, 7 by 7 tefachim wide. Yeah, that's taas v'lomenasi. That's where we have such a such a din by sukkah, but not necessarily by lulav do we have such a din. We have back on Daf Yud Beis. So not necessarily by lulav do we have such a din of tas of lomina asui. So my lab bahaka miflugi. So what's the machlokas about whether when you pick the berries off of the hadas whether it becomes kosher or not? Demand the pasul savarmin yesh dichay etzel mitzvos. The one that says that it's pasul holds there's dichay etzel mitzvos. When there were more berries, it was pasul. So there's no way to kosher that which was pasul. Umand the machshir savarmin yesh dichay etzel mitzvos. And the one that says that you can pick the berries off holds that there is a din of dichoy etzel mitzvos and therefore that there's no din of dichoy etzel mitzvos, rather that ain't dichoy etzel mitzvos, and that therefore yes it was puzzled, but now I've kashered it by pulling the berries off. So don't you see it's a machlokas, well, a machlokas tanayim whether yesh dichoy etzel mitzvos or ain't dichoy etzel mitzvos. Says Merlo, that's not what the machlokas is about. De kuli alma lo armin yesh dichoy etzel mitzvos. mitzvos. Everyone's going to say ein dichoy etzel mitzvos, and you are able to kasher a chefza shel mitzvah that became pasul. V'hacha b'melechlu v'misukah k'mefugi. The whole issue over here is yes, you're kashering the handas, but is it a violation of tasav lo min asui? They're arguing whether there's a din of tasav lo min asui by a lulav, that the asiyas alulav is when you bind it together, but if it's already bound and you're just picking the berries off of the hadas and that's what's making it kasher, that might be a violation of tasav lo min asui. Mar sovri alfina lulav misukah, the one that says that we have a problem over here says we learn lulav from sukkah and therefore it's a violation of tasav lo min asui. Umar sovri lo alfina lulav misukah, and the one that says that it's perfectly fine will say that we don't learn anything from sukkah. There is no din of tasav lo min asui when it comes to lulav. That's a din only when it comes to sukkah. V'i by yisema, or another way to explain the machlokes, that he that if only we held that you need to bind the lulav, then yes, then there would be a din of asiya by a lulav, but just like there is by sukkah. But over here, the whole machlokas is, do you even need to bind the lulav in the first place? Where do we find such a machlokas? In the Braisa, the Tanya. Lulav bein agud bein she'eno agud kosher. Tanakama says that a lulav, even if it's not bound together, is kosher. Rabbi Yudomer agud kosher she'eno agud pasul. Rabbi Yudha says, no, it's only kosher if it's bound together. If you don't bind the lulav, that's my rabbis all together, then it's going to be pasul. So my time with Rabbi Yudha, why does Rabbi Yudha think that a lulav is tzar? That he learns the word lekicha that appears both by lulav and by agudas ezov. Ksiv hachol lekachtem lachem lekachtem lachem biyom arishon uksiv hasam, and by agudas ezov it says lekachtem agudas ezov. So it's a gzeira shava. Mala halon aguda, just by agudas ezov, it's explicit in the pasuk that it needs to be an aguda afkan aguda. By lulav also it needs to be an aguda. It needs to be bound together. V'rabbanan less l'kicha l'kicha, and the Rabbanan just don't have that gzeira shava, like we just learned yesterday, right? About that gzeira shava is not something that a person could just make up. You're either a mekabel me rabbo or you're not mekabel gzeira shava me rabbo. It's not one of the two days ago Shabbos. Right? Yeah, on Shabbos we learned that the machlokas Rashi and Tosos, whether kal v'chomer and gzeir shava, that kal v'chomer we know a person could be done me'atzmo, gzeir shava a person cannot be done me'atzmo, and we had the machlokas Rashi and Tosos, what about all the other midos, shatar, and drashas? But gzeir shava, a person can't make up a gzeir shava, so the Rabbanan didn't have such a mesora of a gzeir shava, of l'kicha l'kicha. So that's what the machlokas is really all about. So again, we have this machlokas tanaim, if you pull off the berries of the hadas, does it become kasher? So initially we thought the machlokas must be about whether dichoy etzel mitzvos or ain't dichoy etzel mitzvos. So the Gemara said, no, two alternative explanations of that machlokas. Maybe the machlokas about whether tasav lo min asui applies to lulav, or maybe the machlokas about whether lulav tzarech eged or lulav ein tzarech eged. So man tan l'had tan rabbanu lulav mitzvah lo agdo v'im lo agdo kasher, mani I Rabbi Yehuda ki lo agdo amai kasher, I rabbanu my mitzvah ka'avid. So who's the author of the braisa that tells us that it's ideal to be ma'aged the lulav, to bind the lulav, but if you don't, it's still kasher. Because man of shuf, if you hold lulav tzarech eged from aguda seizov's dinda rice, it's going to be ma'aged. And if you hold lulav ain't tzarech eged, why is it ideal? Why do you even need to bother doing it at all? So who's this middle ground opinion? Says more the olim rabbanan o mitzvah mishum zekei livan veyu. It's the sheet of the rabbanan, and the mitzvah is zekei livan veyu, that it's a more beautiful way to do the mitzvah. Meaning, it's not that there's a requirement of eged, but by every mitzvah there's a requirement to do the mitzvah in the most beautiful way possible. And since the most beautiful way possible is by binding it together, so that's ideal. If it lacks that sense of hidr, though, it's still going to be kosher. There is a chakira that the Acharim raised when it comes to the geder of hidr mitzvah, the chiyuv of zek keli van veyu. If it's that you're mekayim the mitzvah with being mekayim a mitzvah with a more muhudr chepza shel mitzvah makes the mitzvah a higher level mitzvah, or the geder of the din is that it's not mishabeach the mitzvah, it's mishabeach the osa mitzvah, the person who's doing the mitzvah, that he's showing that he's working so hard in order to have the nicest possible item. But it's not a din in the chefza shel mitzvah itself, it's a din in the osei mitzvah. Now, if kamina would be, if you have two Jews, one of them is an ani, one of them is an ashir, and they both buy an esrog muhudar for the same amount of money. So if the hidr mitzvah is a din in the mitzvah itself, so they're both mekayim hidr mitzvah on the same level, because their esrogim are exactly the same. So if it's a din in the chefza shel mitzvah, same exact chefza shel mitzvah. But if the mitzvah is that the person is doing is showing a love for the mitzvah by working so hard to be able to achieve a more beautiful mitzvah. So the person for whom it's more difficult to achieve the more beautiful mitzvah. You know, you have two people who walk into a store. One of them spends hours there until he finds the most beautiful esrog. And one of them, blind luck, walks in, picks up the first esrog, I'll take it. And it turns out it's just as beautiful as the other guy's esrog. Happens all the time, right? So is that as good of a hiddur mitzvah as the first fellow? So that would be tally in this chakira. So that's what the Rishonim write, that the kiyum of hiddur mitzvahs by tzitzis is talisna and tzitzisna. So why do you have to be mahadur in the talis? The mitzvah is only in the tzitzis, right? Meaning the Gemara says talisna and tzitzisna is the hiddur mitzvah of tzitzis. So the Rishonim and Achronim are bothered. What does the talis have to do with the mitzvah? The beggar is not the mitzvah. So if the hiddur mitzvah is to show the chavivus for the mitzvah, the person showing chavivus for the mitzvah, not just the cheftzah mitzvah, so then you understand, because the person is respecting the tzitzis by only putting them on the nicest talis, that he wants to use the nicest beged for the mitzvah of tzitzis. So that's what they bring a raya, that maybe it's a din in the person. The Brisker Rav rejected that raya. He said it would turn out that it's a person has to build the most beautiful house in order to be mahadir in the mitzvah of mezuzah, to be koveya mezuzah on the most beautiful house. You ever hear of such a hiddur mitzvah, that you have to have the most beautiful home in order to be mahadir the mitzvah of mezuzah, that you're going to attach the mezuzah to such a beautiful home, because that's what you're essentially saying with the tzitzis and the talis. That's certainly not the case. So you have to say the reason you need a talis now is because the talis becomes a part of the cheftza shal mitzvah. That Ramesh writes in Tshuva Nor Chaim Chelek Aleph, when we say talis now, it's talking about like nowadays we designate one beged to be where you're going to put the tzitzis on, and that beged is what you use for tefillah. That beged is what you wrap yourself into to daven with. So don't as opposed to every beggar that has dalet kanfos. So when you designate the nicest the beggar for tefillah, that's a hiddur mitzvah also, but it may not reflect on this chakira whatsoever. Okay, Oshayu Adav Merubin. We then said that if it has more berries than it has leaves, then it's also going to be puzzle. So Amar of Chisadavar Zer Rabbeinu Agadol Amar of Amakom Yabezro, that Rabbeinu Agadol taught us that Hashem should help him, that says Lo Shadu Al B'makom Echad Av B'Shayim Shalosh Makom Was Kasher, that if it has more berries and leaves, and all the berries are clustered in one spot, that's where it's going to be possible. But if they're all over the place, there are berries in two or three different spots along the hadas, then it's going to be kasher. So Amle Rava, Shnayim Shalosh Makomos, Havim Minumar, Upasal, that should be even worse. If it's in two or three spots, then it's spotted, then it's Minumar. So that should for sure be Pasal. Ella I Itmar, Hachi Itmar. No, what we meant to say is as follows. Oh, show you another Merubin Me'olav is possible. The Mishnah said that if you have more berries than you have leaves, then it's possible. Amar Rav Chista, Dover Zer, Rabbeinu Agadol Amar Rav Amakom Yabezro, and Rav Chista comments that this is what Rabbeinu Agadol said, that Lo Shanu Ela Anovav Shchoros. Yeah, there's a limitation on this din of Anov Merubin Me'olav, but not in terms of the location of the berries, but in terms of the color of the berries. That it's Anovav Shchoros, Avala Anovav Yerokos. But if the berries are Yerokos, well, we already saw that Yerok doesn't mean what we think it means, meaning Yerok, we saw Tosos points out on Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis, that Yerok Kikarti means green, but whenever we say Yerok, it could mean green or yellow or gold or anything that's in that family of colors, but I love Dafka that it's actually green, right? We discussed that when we spoke about the color of an Esrog. So Anav of Yerokos, but if it's Anav of Mar Yerokos, Mine Dahadasu, then it's just part of the Hadas, even though they're round and they look like berries, but since those berries are the same color as the hadas, they're a greenish yellowish color, so therefore it's going to be kosher. Amrav Papa, what if the berries are red? We said black is no good, green, yellowish is good. What if the berries are red? So Amrav Papa, Adumos Kishchoros Damian. In Halacha, we view red as the same as black, which is an unusual raya he brings. Dam Rabbi Chanina, Haidam Shachar Edom Hu Ela Shalacha. That when it comes to determining Dam Nida, not all colors of Dam are Tameh. There are certain shades of Dam that are Tahar. So if you find Dam that's black, so we assume that that's Tameh. That that's really red, it's just that it was deoxidized or whatever, it lost its reddish tinge for whatever reason, but black blood and red blood are both going to be considered tameh. That's what poskim sometimes have to discern. You know, sometimes a woman will see a marid dam and she'll say, well, this is for sure tara, there's no tinge of red whatsoever in the dam, it's really brown, it's so brown it looks black. Ooh, that's not so good. If it's so brown that it looks black, it's so dark that it looks black, so that could be a problem, because black is actually tameh. Not even all reds are tameh in Meikra did. I mean, we're machmir on all reds because we don't know how to discern the different reds, but the Mishnah Maseches Nida tells us that there are chamisha minei damim that are tameh. There are only five shades of red that are tameh, but we've lost the expertise to be able to distinguish between one red and the other red. But so we just look for red, but black is considered red. So it's an unusual raya, because what's that got to do with the berries of a hadas, that whatever is red or whatever? That's it's an unusual raya, but that's what Gemara says, that apparently this is a broader halacha. It's not only meaning it's in Nida, it sounds like a biological statement, that if I want to know what's dam, so if you see something that's black, it was really dam. It was really dam in Amakar, and you can assume that it's really dam. So it sounds like a physiological, a biological statement. Over here we're saying it's a halachic statement, that whenever the halacha is that black is red. The halacha is that red is black and black is red, that they have the same status. I don't know, if you have a black cow, can you call it a para aduma? Meaning, is that really the halacha, that black is always red? So it's a difficult question. Why? When do we assume to apply the halacha, to assume that it's a halacha, that the colors are the same? I didn't get a chance to look around and see what poskim say about it. So, im miatan kasher. We said that if you pull off the berries, then it's going to be kosher. So even though we're just going on to explain the next lines in the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to use these lines of the Mishnah as a raya back on the discussion of yesh dichrei tzel mitzvos, rein dichrei tzel mitzvos. So we'll call this raya number 3. D'miatinu emas. When did you pull these berries off? If you pulled them off before you ever made the eged of the lulav pshita, then of course it's fine. You had a perfectly kosher hadas by the time you put it together with your lulav and your revels. No, you put it together after you pulled the berries off, after you bound it together. You bound it together, then you pulled the berries off. So, well, that seems to be that it was nidcha initially, and we should say that apparently it doesn't remain dachui. So it says, well, the only basa dog, they really pulled it off after you bound it together. But maybe eged isn't as big a deal as we think it is. Maybe eged is just as mana bialma. It's just a way of preparing the mitzvah, but it's not called the real asiyas ha-mitzvah. It's not considered to be the making of the chefza shel mitzvah. Then we said, ve'in mematin b'yomtov, that you're not allowed to be mema'it the berries on yomtov. So however, v'liktan mai, if you are malakit the berries, what would the halacha be? Kasher. Then it's going to be kasher. So the ishkar emas, when did these berries become black, that they became problematic? If they became black from the previous day, from Erev Yom Tov, so Dachimei Karu. So then it was Dachimei when Yom Tov started, it was already not kosher for the mitzvah. And therefore, Raya number 4, Tifshon Mina, Dichimei Karu, Delavi Dichoi. Apparently, that which is Nidcha initially is not rejected forever. We can bring it back. We could still become kosher. Elav, no, it must be the Ashkar B'Yom Tov. It must be that it became black on Yom Tov. Well, the Nirev Nidchehu. It was something that was once kosher and was then nidcha, shamin nir v'nidcha, chosin v'nira. And apparently, that which was once kosher, then was then nidcha, you can make it kosher again. So you see that ein dicho etzel mitzvos. So says Gemara, lo, li olam da ashkar mei ikara. Really, it was black originally. Dichoy me'akara, delavi dichoy tifshon mina. And you're right, we can be poshate the shayla. Dichoy me'akara is not called dichoy. Avon nir v'nidcha, chosin v'nira lo tifshon. But whether something that was once kosher and was then nidcha can become kosher again, that we're still not sure about. Right? That's the example I always give, that I always told the high school students, that if a person doesn't make the basketball team at the beginning of the year, no matter how much better at basketball he gets during the year, they don't put him on the team. When you were nearer, you were ra'oi to be on the team, and you were nidcha, they rejected you, they cut you, so you don't make it back on the team. But a kid switches in from another school and he wasn't there for tryouts, middle of the year, superstar player switches in. I remember this happened in DRS, switched in the middle of the year, they threw threw him right on the team. Why? Because they never cut him. They never rejected him. He was just not Roy Meikara. So when something is near a Vinidcha, so that's a rejection. To be rejected, that's more permanent. But if something was never near a Meikara, and it was just Nidcha Meikara, he wasn't even in the Parsha, so then when it becomes a Ra'ui, maybe that we do have a Raya that it can become Ra'ui. Tanu Rabban, Eim Nimat and Biyam Tov. He then said, you're not allowed to pull the berries off on Yom Tov. Mishum Rav Lazar Mishum Amru Mematim. Rav Lazar Mishum says, yes, you can. Velkam Esakin Mani B'Yom Tov. But wait a second. Isn't this a violation of Tikkun Mana? You have a Hadas that was no good, and now you're making it good. So Amr Rav Ashi Kagon Shalikton La'achila. You weren't trying to make the Hadas kosher. You were just hungry. So you started pulling off the berries to eat the berries, like you're eating grapes on Yom Tov. So you're just eating the berries off of the Hadas. So you have no Kavana whatsoever of making a Hadas kosher. Rav Lazar Mishum says, but Rav Lazar Rabbi Shimon is assuming, like his father Rabbi Shimon, who holds the famous Shita, Davar Sheni Meskavin is mutter. Machlokes Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, that Davar Sheni Meskavin is mutter. So that's what Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon holds. But Abayi v'Rav Adami Tavayi, mother Rabbi Shimon, Sikreishav Loyamus says, but wait a second. If you're pulling all the berries of the Hadas, you know what's going to happen. You know that the Hadas is going to become kosher. So how can you say that that's called the Davar Sheni Meskavin? That's a Sikreishe. That's for sure going to happen. Says Mar Hachmayaskin unto Islam. Hashana Achriti. No, we must be talking about a case where you have another Hadas. So it's not so pashut that this is going to be a Hadas Shal Mitzvah at all. So therefore, it's not a Psik Reshe that this is going to be a Hadas Shal Mitzvah, that you're being Machshir, a Hadas Shal Mitzvah. This just might be some random branch where how many berries it has is totally irrelevant. And therefore, it's still a Davar Sheinu Meskavein. It's not a Psik Reshe. So Tanu Rabban Hutar Agdol B'Yom Tov Agdol Ka'agudah Shal. Actually, before we get to that, so it is an interesting idea that we're applying the whole discussion of Davar Sheinu Meskavein Mutar, Davar Sheinu Meskavein Aser to Hadasim on to picking the Hadasim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that is something that is a Shabbos and Yom Tov related halacha. Do we ever have such a din of Davar Sheinu Meskavein when it comes to Shari Sunum, when it comes outside of the area of Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Yom Tov? Over here it's talking about Hilchas Yom Tov, that it's Davar Sheinu Meskavein. So we actually find in four different places in Shas that at least four different places in Shas where Davar Sheinu Meskavein applies even to Shari Sunum as well. The Mishnah Meseches Klayim in the ninth parak of Klayim talks about the Mocher Ksus, people who are selling clothing could be Mocher Kedarkan, as long as they're not having Kavana B'cham M'necham B'gsham M'necham, as long as they're not having Kavana when they're wearing all this Shatnas clothing on their back, as long as they're not having Kavana to be protected from the clothing. So apparently the reason that that's Mutter is because it's a Davar Sheinu Meskavein. That's how the Bartanura explains that Mishnah. Furthermore, a second example we have in Shabbos Taf Kuf Lamed Gimel, we said that we need a pasuk to tell me that you're allowed to cut off a baheres b'makom milah according to, but the pasuk is only needed according to Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Shimon, of course you're allowed to cut off a baheres b'makom milah. It's a Davar Sheinu Meskavein. Davar Sheinu Meskavein is mutus, even though you're not allowed to cut off tzaras. If it's b'makom milah, even though you're not allowed to cut off tzaras, when your intention is to give a bris milah, not to cut off the tzaras, it's going to be mutter. By Nazir, we have about a Nazir combing his hair, that the hair is going to be removed when the Nazir combs his hair. Nazir daf membeis. Also, Davar Sheinu Meskavein is going to be mutter as long as it's not a Pesuk Reshe. And in Mesechas Zvachim, on daf Tzadi Aleph, we have about being Mezalif Yayin al Gabe Yeishim, sprinkling wine on the fires of the Mizbech. You're not allowed to be Mechabe the Yeish of the Mizbech. But since it's Davar Sheinu Meskavein, it's going to be mutter. So there's a discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim. Yes, it's true that Davar Sheinu Meskavein mutter, according to Rabbi Shimon, both by Shabbos and by Shari Surim. But is it the same? Are the halachos parallel by the two of them? Rav Yonason Sacks, in his very first sefer, Chemdas Yam, Simtas Zayin, goes through four differences that you have between the dinim of Davar Sheinu Meskavein, five differences that you have between Davar Sheinu Meskavein by Shabbos and Davar Sheinu Meskavein by Shari Surim. Number one, he brings a raya from a ran in the Chidushim on Sanhedrin that by Shari Surim it doesn't apply to an Isser Misa, but Shabbos is an Isser Misa, and we still say Davar Sheinu Meskavein is mutter by Shabbos. Number two, he says that he has a raya from Tosus Meseches Yuma Daf Lamed Dalid, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Davar Sheinu Meskavein is Aser by Shabbos, it would would only be Nisad Rabbanan. But by Shari Surim, it would be Nisad Raisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Number three, he has a Raya from Ashita Mekubetzas in Ksubas Taf Heyam Ebeis, that when Rabbi Shimon says he's Moda B'Psik Reshe, that means by Shabbos, it means it's going to be Asher Midrabbanan B'Psik Reshe. But by Shari Surim, when we say Rabbi Shimon's Moda B'Psik Reshe, it means that it's going to be Nisar Da'uraisa on the P'Psik Reshe. Number four, the She'iltos to Rabbi Chaygon, Paskins like Rabbi Shimon by Shabbos, and like Rabbi Yehuda by Shari Surim. Whoa, why would he split the Psak? And number five, that the Aruch, who says the Psak Reshit Lo Nichalei is Mutter, that's only for Shabbos. But by Shari Surim, a Psak Reshit Lo Nichalei is going to be Asr. Why the difference? Why do we have all these differences? If the Davashen is Kavim, it's Mutter, it's Asr, it's Asr. Why would there be difference between Shabbos and Shari Surim? So the difference is because by Shabbos, you have a concept called Meleches Machsheves. There needs to be a more thoughtful, direct focus on the Melacha, and the lack of Melacha Machshavas will make it much more kal if you lack Melech Machshavas on Shabbos. Tanu Rabbanan, Hutar Ogdo B'Yom Tov, Ogdo Kaguda Shal Yarek. If the binding becomes undone in Yom Tov, so just wrap around something around the three minim. Why don't you just tie a bow? Haman Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Aniva Kshir Mal Yasihi. We're assuming, like Rabbi Yehuda, that an Aniva counts as a kesher. E Rabbi Yehuda, Egen Mal Yasabai. But if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, you need to really do a proper Egen. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a little Tzarech Egen. So this Tana must hold like Rabbi Yehuda on the issue that an aniva is considered a kesher, and therefore you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos Yom Tov. But against Rabbi Yehuda, as far as Lulav Tzarech Eged, we only do the Eged as a Zekeli Va'anvehu. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah about Arava. A good and a good day, everybody.